Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday, Friday Eve. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And 2 days after a big win for Penn State men's basketball at Michigan State, and Penn State has now put themselves in prime position. They sit in fourth right now in the Big Ten standings, one full game behind Maryland and Illinois, who are tied atop the Big Ten right now at 8-3. Michigan State in between there at 8-4. But at the same time, there's no room for error because Iowa is breathing down Penn State's neck at 7-5. Rutgers is 7-5, and then you have a handful of other teams that are 6-6, including Minnesota, Penn State's next opponent. And Minnesota comes to the Bryce Jordan Center Saturday afternoon for a 4:00 tip-off. Then Penn State goes to Purdue for a 6:30 matchup next Tuesday, then Penn State's back home against Northwestern next Saturday at noon, and then the big one is against Illinois at home the following Tuesday, the 18th. And so, where does Penn State now go from here? How do they keep building on this five-game win streak now going forward? Steve said many times they have to keep helping himself. There's no doubt about that. And it's favorable to a point. Everyone keeps saying around the Big Ten saying Penn State's got a favorable schedule going forward, and I think they do just by the aspect of their home coming up here for a good majority of these games. You don't have to worry about going on the road where it's been so hard to win this year in the Big Ten, though Penn State's now been successful for three straight games. Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska. But Michael Vick once said this, it's easy, but it's hard. I kind of feel like that's going to be the theme for Penn State here down the stretch as you look into February now. I think Minnesota is a winnable game at home. They haven't been playing their best basketball as of late, but there's still a lot of talent on that team, so Penn State's got to be ready to go at home, and the fact they're at home is good too. I think Northwestern is a no-brainer. I think that should be a W. Not saying an easy W, but I think it's going to be an easier game than Minnesota per se. But then, of course, yes. The big circle, Steve, is the Illinois game when they come to the Bryce Jordan Center on the 18th. You like that circle, analogy?
The big circle is Saturday.
Sad with Minnesota.
Well, they're going to say that, yeah. But from the fans' perspective, it's got to be the Illinois game. They're tied for first right now.
I understand the fans' perspective. I completely get it. But this is where, and this is where, for me, there's a disconnect. If you're going to criticize me as a talk show host, it would be in segments such as these, or I don't play the game. Okay? Now, in no way, shape, or form, Matt, am I in any way criticizing you doing that. Okay? Or any fan. Not in the least. But I strongly feel I can't play the game. And again, Matt, you could do that all you want, and you will get no criticism from me. Zero.
Well, I get it from your perspective, too.
Now, for me, what's interesting is that I think if you do this job, and I'm the one that's very fortunate to have the job, you're around a team all the time. So today I was at practice. Today I went through the film session with them and so forth. And when you're, for example, when you're preparing games, let's just take from a personal point of view. I can't prepare the Purdue game because I've got to, and I can't do the Purdue game until I do the Minnesota game. So now you understand why the coach feels the way they feel. Now, I completely understand how the fan feels. Totally. I get it. I mean, once I'm away from my teams that I broadcast for, you know, I can take, for example, hey, let's look at the Steelers. Well, all right, the Steelers, oh, they'll beat the Bengals twice, and they'll be, you know. See, I could do that. Because at that point, I don't have a dog in the hunt. But when you're around a team, they let you in. You know, James Franklin, I'm at practice. I mean, if I want to go to a meeting, I can go to a meeting. I've been to meetings before. Okay, so I've been there. And he does not allow that door open. And I've been able to, if I've wanted to, practice, I'm there. So you understand what they're doing, how they're doing it, why they're doing it, what the issue is with something that they're not doing. You know who's bumped up. You know who's sick. You know who missed practice because of illness. You know who you know based on the meeting who's getting sick. So it's, you know what I mean? Like all these little things that, quote, I know, that I keep to myself because it's important to keep it to myself. It's critical to keep it to myself. But I know it. And you also know that when you're preparing games, I can't announce the Purdue game until Tuesday night. So the only game I can really lock in on, personally, is Minnesota. I can't sit there and do the Purdue game while I'm doing the Minnesota game on Saturday. I have to just do Minnesota. I got to talk about Turo. I got to talk about Carr. I got to talk about Willis. I got to get Kauscher. I got to talk about Denham. I got to talk about Amerisa, Trey Williams. Yeah, those are the only people I can talk about Saturday besides Penn State's players. So I understand why a team thinks the way it thinks, because that's how I have to think to do my job. That's why when it comes to the talk show part, when it comes to this, I'm a lousy talk show host. Now, there are a lot of people that think of a lousy talk show host to begin with, so I, you know, my assessment of that moment fits right in with what they think. And I don't care. I'll tell you the part of the talk show where I think I do excel is, for example, Dave Revson's going to be on today. Well, okay. You know, I mean, Dave and I just talked for 45 minutes on Tuesday at Shoot Around. You know, as the talk show host, you can excel with the fact that because of my job, I was at Mark D'Antonio's press conference. So I was able to give you my thoughts and feelings on just the demeanor of it, as opposed, you know, and what it was like in the room, right? Yeah, those areas, yeah. But when it comes to playing the game up, you know, that's a W, that's an L, that's a WWW. I can't do that. Even though it would be fun to do that, it's a lot more fun to be the one sitting there next to the bench and not describing things, and I don't really feel like... I don't really think the station wants me to risk that either. Yeah. Because then you would end up with Matt in the suit. And that's what they'd call the show probably. Or they'd probably be the suit and Matt. He'd take top billing.
Yeah, probably.
It's just it's the way it always is. Even though, like, the chief's the brains of the operation, it's always the suit and the chief. Like, chief always gets second billing. You know, he's the only one that knows how to get anywhere. Yeah. I mean, Kevin goes with Doug. I mean, Kevin's a follower. mean, that's why Kevin eats at Wendy's all the time.
No, it's Chick-fil-A.
No, Doug goes to Wendy's.
No, Kevin goes to Chick-fil-A is what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. But when he's a Doug, he goes to Wendy's.
Yeah.
I mean, Birdsong is a huge Wendy's guy.
That's true.
And, you know, and Birdsong, you know, and by the way, Birdsong's a big-time play-by-play guy.
Oh, yeah.
Football, basketball. He does everything, doesn't he?
It's always a battle between those two, where we're going for dinner afterwards when I've had the privilege of joining the two of them to cover a Bucknell football away game. It's always a battle of where we're stopping to eat afterwards. Is it Chick-fil-A or is it Wendy's?
Huh. I'm usually just trying to get to the plane and get out of there. I just take what they give us on the plane. I don't really worry about that.
Because Kevin likes to use his Chick-fil-A points on his card that he has.
He has Chick-fil-A points?
He does. He has his own card. He uses it all the time. Every time we find some, we always Googles where the nearest Chick-fil-A is, wherever we're going for a Bucknell away game that I've been on with, and lo and behold, we find that Chick-fil-A. Either going to the game, on the way back from, or both.
I don't want to depress you here, but do you realize the kind of sad world you're being lured into?
Hey, I got a free chance to the link last year, so I'm not complaining.
And by the way, I really like Chick-fil-A. Okay.
I'm happy with it, too.
But I don't have a points reward program. Okay, mine's with Marriott, where I get rooms.
Okay. That's not bad either.
Not bad. No offense. I could spend money over Chick-fil-A. I got like 5 nights last year where I didn't pay anything when I walked in. You know how much money I saved?
Quite a lot, I'm sure.
Right, enough to buy a whole bunch of Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I mean, again, I don't want to depress you, but when that's the conversation, that's not the direction you want your career to go in, Matt. I know it's a 5 to 6 miles off the beaten path, but I found a Chick-fil-A. Matt, at that point, you got to pull a Nancy Reagan. You got to say no. let's get home a half hour earlier. You get Chick-fil-A when you get back. There's Chick-fil-A's in the area, right?
The only one actually is a small one on the campus of Bloomsburg University.
That's it?
That's it, believe it or not. We have all the chains in the world down the strip in Hummel's Wharf and Sheboygan Dam, and there's not a Chick-fil-A there. Or anywhere else around the area. It's just a small one in Bloomsburg on the campus there, and it's a limited menu from what I hear.
What, chicken sandwiches and drinks? Now, we may have an expert calling in right now that may tell us where other locations may be. So let's find out. Because Doug is a big Wendy's guy. All right? Kevin's a big Chick-fil-A guy. I'm a big, hey, what's in the bag on the plane guy. It's like, hey, that's fine. It looks good to me. You got Samantha and Angie and Dale and those guys, you know, that group on the plane. The United people are awesome. Yes, Samantha, I mentioned you. Angie, I mentioned you. Dale, I mentioned you. Great people. Actually a second Samantha that also worked there as well. Yeah, we get the same crew. You know, we get the same crew every football flight. You know that?
No.
Oh, it's really great. Oh, it's the point where it's like, first of all, Angie, Samantha Smith, Dale, I mean, right? Just terrific people. They're really great at what they do, but they're just really nice people. It gets to the point where you get to know them a little bit. So, and nobody on, and by the way, oh, just so you know, when you get on the plane, guess what you were offered? a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, not brought to you by Chick-fil-A. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. So we find out what there's a Chick-fil-A in Mechanicsburg, and there's one in Scranton. Now, we know there's one here in State College, which I've been to many times. So that's the big debate. The big debate is between Wendy's and Chick-fil-A on the road.
For Bucknell football, yep.
Yeah. Like, for example, like we had a big debate. Do we want to go to Manny's or Murray's in Minneapolis to get steak?
I'd much rather that debate, to be honest with you.
Chicago, we kind of debated whether to go over to the Chop House. Indianapolis. It's either Palomino, Harry and Izzy's, or St. Elmo's. These are the conversations we have. It's like what normal people talk about on the road when it goes to time to eat, you know? That's what normal broadcast teams do. At least I consider it normal. Yeah, went to a great steakhouse in Columbus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah.
I'll have to take a trip and compare the two. Not that there really is a comparison anyway.
Well, Doug's big time. The other guys, just culturally is bringing you down. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, he hasn't been the same since those three pins were standing. All the swagger went out. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Teams have to be able to block out the noise. Now, there are certain things that I do on the show that would be part of the noise, but... for example, but you want to inform fans and so that they know what certainly. So that's why we talked about quads. That's why I brought up yesterday that the first rankings from the actual committee will come out Saturday at 12:30 on CBS. I mean, that way the fans know what to expect and they aren't surprised by it. I think that's really a big part of this job that you do. Because I've always felt a big part of the job was to give some insight somewhere that maybe you weren't getting. Okay. Neil Kulong next half hour, 4:06, Dave Refson, BTN. Great to have you on board today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Next half hour, Dave Revson, Big Ten Network, will also call the game Tuesday night in East Lansing. We'll talk about how things are going in the Big Ten. Last night was another weird night. Now let's just take Iowa. Iowa's had a great run. They rolled into College Park on, I think, what, six game winning streak, something like that. Good, tough, hard fought game. Maryland won it. Right? Did some things late. Cowan did some things late. Maryland won it. So now Iowa goes home and they play Illinois. And what a game that was. It was a lot like the Penn State-Michigan State game. When it was over with, if you were a casual fan, you wanted to watch more college basketball. Just the quality of the game was that good between Iowa and Illinois, just like the quality of the Penn State-Michigan State game was just that good. Right, so, and Iowa won. They beat Illinois. And that means the only loss they've had in 4 weeks is at Maryland. And then they went to Purdue last night and scored 68 points. And gave up 104. Huh? They got crushed by 36 points. This conference is something else. You don't know what to expect in a given night. At least it feels that way. All right. Let's talk about the NFL now. I know that, hey, Matt, by the way, I just want to make sure as I'm going to talk to Neil here.
Yes.
I don't have any Pro Bowl questions this week.
That's fine. It should be all about the Super Bowl. Pro Bowl's
sure?
Done. We had our time, yes.
Because I asked Neil about the Pro Bowl last week.
You did, and I was very impressed with that.
Not this week. He's out. Neil, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here, as always. Thanks for having me.
All right. So what were your general impressions in watching the Super Bowl?
You know, I thought the game went... generally speaking, about how I thought that it would. I thought Kansas City probably got started a little bit later than I thought they would, but I had set a score something like 36 to 26, somewhere in there, so a little less scoring than I had initially thought. But I figured San Francisco's defense, it was going to take Kansas City a little bit to figure them out, and when they did, they'll just do the things that we're used to seeing the Chiefs do, which they did toward the end of the game. As we talked about, too, we saw the Jimmy Garoppolo that I think a lot of people sort of figured we'd see, especially at the end of the game. Not the greatest passer in the NFL. I think he gets away with quite a bit based on that scheme. But for stretches of that game, he did pretty well. I think he's not that high-end passer that perhaps his contract might suggest that he is, but he's a decent one. He ran into a little bit of a rough patch at the end there, right? You know, when the team needed him to be an all-pro level guy. You just kind of, that's what you get from Jimmy Garoppolo. They're not going to win many games coming from behind. They should have been able to protect the lead that they had, but that's playing Kansas City. You know, the aberration is holding them to 10 points for as long as they did, not the flurry of scoring that we saw from them at the end. So, really, I'm not surprised by the outcome. They probably went about the way that I figured that it would, but it was an entertaining game. We saw, perhaps a few lesser big-time plays than we would like to see in a Super Bowl, but, you know, some big-time guys made the types of plays we figured that they would, and it was an entertaining game overall.
Yeah, it certainly was. And again, the Niners played brilliantly for three quarters, brilliantly. But something reared its ugly head that statistically has been a problem for the Niners. They were 28th in the league in fourth quarter pass defense this year, and they were 20th in the league in fourth quarter pass rush this season in the fourth quarter. And a quarterback can wear a defensive line down. A quarterback can do that. If you're chasing this guy all night, they can run you out of gas, because normally you're winning. Those guys are in track stances, right? They've got the advantage. And I think he wore them down a little bit, and something that is a problem for the 49ers did rear its ugly head, and it wasn't Garoppolo. It was the fact that statistically their fourth quarter defense showed up again.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. What I would say to that, more than anything, is you have to wonder if the style of play of the 49ers is all that sustainable. We've seen plenty of games where they were able to finish them off, and they didn't look tired against the Vikings at all, and they were, you know, running Kirk Cousins down grass throughout the fourth quarter. But you're right. We've seen them get tired at the end of games. I would look back to week 17 when they had to beat Seattle. They had Seattle on the ropes, and they almost, you know, within – Russell Wilson had, what, 8 pass attempts into the end zone, what would have won the game for Seattle after coming from 11 back, I think, with about 6.5, 7 minutes left. They're so aggressive. They push so hard upfield, and they're so good at it, but they're not subbing out. They're not, you know, changing things around. Guys didn't have a break. I thought, for me, and maybe you guys would disagree, but I thought Nick Bosa was the best player on the field. Through all four quarters, he was the true MVP of that game, the most outstanding player, I guess you should say. He wasn't making plays at the end, but you know who was? Frank Clark. Frank Clark didn't do a thing for half the game. You know, maybe that has something to do with endurance. Not to say that Bosa is not in shape, not that they're not conditioned, but if you've ever, you know, gone in a three-point stance, fired off into a much larger individual for 70 snaps, even 23-year-old powerhouses like Bosa are going to wear down after a while. It makes you wonder if, yes, I would agree completely with you, Mahomes didn't step up in the pocket. Mahomes escaped to the side. He made plays on the move. That's not as hard physically for a quarterback to do in terms of endurance. You know, his performance isn't going to look as good, and I think we saw that out of Mahomes. They're hoping to get enough plays to get enough of a lead where they're not still having to pin their ears back. But really, the shift in the game came when they got that extra possession, when San Francisco went 3-and-out.
Right.
Really, with the game on the line, things really shifted at that point. You didn't expect San Francisco to get back in because they weren't tormenting Mahomes the way that they had for a large portion of the game when San Francisco had it in I don't want to say in full control, but they were the better team through certainly 2.5 quarters. They were the better team, and then you're right. I think the fatigue caught up to them by the end.
See, and again, Frank Clark did not have to chase Jimmy Garoppolo all night. He didn't have to. I mean, there's a couple times Garoppolo got loose, but that was it. Mahomes, on a night where he didn't play that well, I mean, for three quarters, Mahomes did not play well. But Nick Bosa and those guys were constantly chasing him all night. And look, it wasn't exactly 50 degrees there.
Yeah, I mean, you add all of that in, it's a four-quarter sport. And I think one of the knocks that Robert Saleh has had in assembling that defense has been that fatigue factor. And these are not low-class athletes. These guys are thoroughbreds. I mean, they basically told them at the beginning of the year, get yourself in shape because you're going to be rushing the passer to an obscene level. And they did.
Yep.
And you're talking about this is game, 19 for them. That's going to take its toll after a while. And you're right. In muggy, humid conditions, you're going to wear down. Even the best are going to wear down. And that's all a player like Patrick Mahomes needs. And you saw them do a phenomenal job throughout that game. We would be talking, in my opinion, if let's just say that the one thing happens, they get a special teams touchdown, San Francisco does, to pull that game out. If they win a close one there, Mahomes doesn't have the theatrics at the end, and neither does Garoppolo. I think Nick Bosa is the MVP. He'd be the guy that I would vote for. And he's representing a defensive line that was getting obscene pressure throughout most of that game. To have to chase a good athlete like Mahomes around. I mean, he's no Lamar Jackson, but he moves well in the pocket. He buys himself time, and he escaped at the right time. They sacked him 3 times, but they pressured him probably 15. I mean, they were all over him for the majority of the game. And for, you know, Bosa, most of the time they're rolling away from him. They didn't want to run toward Nick Bosa in that game. He had to go the long way around. I mean, he put probably more effort than anybody else did throughout that game, and it just shows how difficult it is to beat Mahomes. It's not just his arm strength, his accuracy delivering balls down the field. They took the deep stuff away from him almost entirely, certainly right up until the end. But they executed their plan. They wanted to get to him. They felt that they could, and they disrupted him. They put a very good offense on his heels most of that game. They just ran out of gas at the end.
The three of us, not just like football, three of us love football. I remember last year, though, when we talked about the Alliance of American Football, you were very lukewarm, and justifiably so, by the way, in the end, about the Alliance. How do you feel about the XFL starting this weekend, and they've got incredible media partners. Do you have interest in watching that, Neil, or not?
I'll watch it. I'll watch it probably more for work-related reasons than anything. Let's see what it is. My expectations aren't any higher than they were last year at this time for a what do you even call it? You can't call it a farm system. You can't call it really a true alternative to the NFL. It's other football. It's off-brand, off-market, off-season football. If we've seen anything from these off labels playing professional football, it's that there is, you know, some legitimacy to the idea that there are NFL-level guys out here. We've seen receivers, defensive backs, guys mostly probably brought in to play special teams in the NFL. We're seeing them make a jump. We're seeing backup quarterback-level play, guys that are not far at all removed from the NFL as backups, getting, you know, starting opportunities within this league. I think they're approaching it with that in mind. That's probably the right thing to do. If you don't have good quarterback play, that's the one thing you're going to notice first and foremost. I don't know how yes. good the quarterbacks are, but Landry Jones has NFL experience. He would probably he would have started, what, probably 10 games for the Steelers this year had he not signed on with the XFL to a permanent you-can't-move contract. Might not have been the smartest thing Landry Jones has ever done, but we'll find out soon if this, you know, parlays him into any type of further attention. But we'll see how it all pans out. I think how they market it is really going to kind of go I think a good deal to keep the fan interest going in football. It's still really hard to do because it's a very different product. It's a product that people aren't going to easily recognize by watching it. They're going to notice that this is a big step down, especially if they just watched the Super Bowl. It's going to be hard to see anything but a massive gap in talent. But if you market it the right way, if you don't try to be a rival to the NFL, which they've done in the past, if you don't try to schmaltz it all up with you know, different rules, which unfortunately it sounds like they are doing. I saw something about the double backwards pass that they're going to allow, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. There's no sense in doing right. that. That's not going to create fan appeal. If anything, it's going to create a different product than what they're used to watching, different strategies, things like that. I don't think that's the right place for it. But long term, if they find a way to, you know, non-publicly partner with the NFL, to have some type of, you know, loose affiliation with them, if they want to try out rules, if they want to do different things with the officials, things that the NFL might not be able to do in its regular season product, and don't maybe want to try them out, you know, during the Pro Bowl, they want to have, you know, a running test of it, I think there's some validity to what they're doing. Otherwise, if not, I mean, they're going to have to obviously do something. This is, what, the sixth or seventh different variation of the hope of an alternative NFL that you know, organizations have tried and failed, you know, pretty dramatically. I mean, it hasn't even really been kind of successful. They've all been bust pretty much from the start. So the marketing stuff and the money that they're putting into it, that all looks good. You know, it costs a lot, and you get what you pay for with that. But the product on the field, ultimately, you can't hide it. You're going to have to face that head on. And if there isn't any kind of residual interest for fans, and it's not just football's on, I'll watch this instead of golf or basketball, you're not going to last very long.
I think the biggest failing I felt with the Alliance was they didn't score. I think you need scoring. And I go back to the AFL days. Now Thomas is sitting there like at the AFL days. But the AFL in their first 6 years, 7 years, they scored. They got they did get good quarterback play, and they threw and threw and threw while the NFL was running. Well, the NFL's not running anymore. The NFL's throwing a lot now. And I thought the USFL, when they were having their at least visual success, maybe not financial, but visual success, they were scoring, and they were wide open and fun to watch. And I think that's what the XFL needs, in my opinion, to at least get some eyeballs, is to be something that's fun to watch. And I think that's what I'm going to be looking for in the first couple of weeks. Are they fun to watch, regardless of what you think of the level of play?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that brings in the question of marketing, strategic marketing. It almost kind of jumps into football, because at least with the USFL, which I think is a great example of comparison in this case, you had expansion opportunity. Maybe this is hindsight for me, but it looks like you have a wide open platform to play the game in a very different way than do you have that today? Certainly during, you know, a revolution of sorts, when it comes to offense in the NFL. I've quoted this, I don't know how many times on this segment, but Bill Parcells put this so well, it's never escaped from my mind. The pro game is whatever the college game gives it. You have to draft these players. These are the ones coming out.
That's
the way that they've played. Eventually, you're going to have to change what you do to mirror something more of what we see in college football. If you look at the NFL 12 years ago, 15 years ago, you'll see something completely different than what's being done now. And I say that as somebody that's gone back and watched the AFC Championship game between the Ravens and the Steelers from after the 2008 season, I don't know how many times. It's unrecognizable the way that they play the game then compared to now.
You were so
most
right.
Most of that is because they maximized spacing in the NFL. They spread things out offensively, and with that, now we're seeing counters to that defensively. You don't have a base defense anymore, at least the way that we've known it up until this point. For the XFL to capitalize on something like that, you almost need two things. You almost need a complete and total visionary on both sides of the ball of how to play this game, and or somebody who's just completely crazy, and maybe both. You know, maybe they need that. Somebody that this, you know, not just going to think outside the box, but not be within 10 miles of the box, play the game a completely different way to make it more wide open. Maybe that's what they're trying to do with the double pass. I don't know. I'm not sure that really fits with the narrative I just laid out. But you're right. It was wide open with these alternative leagues. You also had a legitimate financial competition against the NFL. Don't worry about them drafting you. We have your rights here. We're going to draft before that. We're going to pay you this if you sign a contract that says you'll never play for them, something to that effect. If they could do that, and we've said this before, if you want to go lure the next, you know, Trevor Lawrence as a freshman in college, maybe even a redshirt somewhere in the NCAA to come play professionally with the ability to be released after 2 years when you're NFL draft eligible, come play here. Be the star of our league. Get paid. Not have to worry about the NCAA. If they can start to chip away at something like that, I think they might have a foundation. But then you're going against the army of lawyers that is the National Football League. You probably run into more problems than it's worth.
Well, we don't run into those kind of problems. You know, in fact, the good news is I guess in the back office after our opening segment, somebody just delivered 10 Chick-fil-A sandwiches to the suit. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Dave Reps and Big Ten Network next half hour. Get into some Big Ten basketball. Tell you, it's going to be another big weekend on BTN because coming up tomorrow night, Penn State Wrestling will be at Wisconsin. I think it's at 9 Eastern on BTN. And that will be followed by Penn State, then Penn State Minnesota coming up at 4 on Saturday. But then more wrestling coming up on Sunday. Penn State is at Penn State is at Minnesota Sunday at 2, and that's on BTN. So, all you wrestling fans out there, which there are many, you're going to have a chance to see your team in action twice on BTN. Wisconsin tomorrow night, I think that's at 9 tomorrow, and then I think it's 2 o'clock on Sunday with Minnesota. It had a nice bounce back. The way they beat Maryland, as Dick said, they had a couple of backups in there, but Maryland in wrestling is, with all due respects, non-competitive. For whatever reason, I've never been able to get going. Kerry McCoy was there and everything. They still couldn't get it going. It's the way it is. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Dave Revson, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.